Now, this sets up the fourth step. If you understand and appreciate their world, if you found leverage, you've interrupted the pattern, then the fourth step is really simple. Define the problem in solvable terms. Define the problem in solvable terms. I'll give you a perfect example. Let's go back to Bob. Bob's problem was he's worthless. You know, he says, I failed completely as a father. There's no reason for me to be here. And I can't let my kids suffer by knowing, you know, to be scarred for life knowing the father was like this. And I said, Bob, I said, you're not a failure as a father. I said, you're just living your life in the most boring way possible. You need to drive your darn Harley. You need to be yourself. Here's your problem, Bob. You're not being yourself. You're trying to be somebody you're not, which makes anybody miserable. You're trying to be this ultra-responsible, conservative guy that only lives his life in this tiny little band of what is supposed to be by cultural terms. I said, forget all that. You're a Harley rider. You love to boogie, right? You love to make love to your wife, right? I said, what you got to do is really the easiest thing on earth, Bob. You don't have a problem. Your problem, you're defining as impossible. It isn't that you're worthless. It's that you've been boring. Get back to yourself. And Bob had this huge smile on his face, man. He started thinking about it. I said, Bob, I want you to close your eyes. And I'll give you a sneak peek of the fifth step because I'm kind of leading into it, even though we're not done with number four yet. I helped him create an empowering alternative. I said, Bob, I want you to close your eyes. And I said, I want you now to imagine a life where the way you start your day is you get up in the morning and you kiss your kids in the head and you say, I'll be back in a bit, and you get on your Harley. I said, you dust that sucker off and you go out there and you rock between, where do you live? Between the mountains, describing. He described where he was. And I said, I want you to imagine, there you are, just you with the wind in your hair and the road in front of you. And Bob's face was one giant grin. It was just this giant grin. And I said, I want you to imagine you go on this ride and you come home and the kids have gone off to school and you grab your lady, your woman, and you say, get over here. And I said, you make the most passionate love to her like you never have before. Like every bit of you that's been waiting to feel alive again is there. Now, Bob, he's got a little move in his step, you know, and he looks like a totally different guy. And then all of a sudden I said, you know, and while we're doing this, I pointed the guy in the back and I motioned to him and I wrote on a little piece of paper and he put on this music, Born to be Wild. And then Bob was listening to this, Born to be Wild. And Bob, you know, you can see him. He's on his Harley in his head, you know, and he's making love to his woman. And I said, now, I want you to imagine how alive you feel, and what do you tell your kids life's about? And he said, life is about love. Life is about freedom. Life is about living life on your terms. Life's not about settling. And he went off on this rant, and the crowd is just cheering, and they're like, go, Bob, go. It's just, you know, you got people from all these countries, you know, and Bob is like the star now, you know. And pretty soon the music's still going, and some women jumped on stage and started dancing around Bob. And I mean, Bob was the star, baby. And by the end, he was just vibrating. And Bob got the, you know what, there's an empowering alternative to the old way of dealing with this situation. There's a better way to meet my needs than killing myself and killing my kids. And I dug in even deeper with Bob. And I said, you know, what could be more important, whether you're at work or not, than to spend time with your kids and let them know how much you love them? Isn't that what you're afraid would happen if you got killed or if you killed yourself? I said, what could you do to go home and be with them each day so that anything ever did happen to you, not because you killed yourself, but anything did happen to you, that, man, they would know forever that they're the most loved children in the world. And Bob came up with his whole plan, his whole strategy, lit up like a Christmas tree. And by the way, that led him into step six. I might as well give it to you, which is we condition Bob, right? Step six is once you've been in a position where the problem's solvable, it's not that you're a bad person. It's not that you're worthless. It's that you're scared. It's that you're bored. It's that you're trying to be something you're not. Those are things you can change in a heartbeat. You can go back to being yourself. And once you create an empowering alternative, you know, like my friend telling me, this is not going to last forever. He broke my pattern and simultaneously said, look, a year from now, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years from now, we'll be sitting here having dinner and you're going to be so happy with your wife and your kid. And he brought tears to my eyes. What did he do? He broke my pattern. You know, he gave me something to look forward to. He defined the problem that it was solvable. It wasn't forever. And simultaneously, he gave me an alternative future. He gave me something that was more compelling. And he talked about it with such passion and so believable that I started thinking about it. And the more I thought about it, the more it felt alive until pretty soon it became my new habit. And it changed me. Same thing with Bob. We conditioned him. And then we related it, step seven, to a higher purpose. We related to what Bob believes. Bob loves his children, ironically. That's the irony. He would do anything for his kids. And he felt like such a failure. That's why he didn't want him to suffer. So now I get him to see, I get him associated that the most important thing he can do is be there for his kids regardless of his work, and now the environment will reinforce him. Now, I know I ran through steps 4, 5, 6, and 7 quickly. We'll go back and fill in some more depth, but I wanted to give a sense of this. Now, let's go back to Jim. I used the same process with him. I got him to see that the problem was not that he had to die. You know, the problem was not unsolvable, that he had to go off and pay off all this money, and that was impossible. What I got him to see that the real problem was that he'd lost his sense of identity. That his identity was he was the person that was always giving, and he was no longer able to do that. And I got him to see it's not true. I said, if you stick with it in this life, you can still make a difference in people's lives. You can make a difference with your personality, with your presence, with your love, with volunteering your time. And I said, if you stay here and you have no choice now, because I got the leverage, I'm going to send this videotape to the insurance company so you can't pay it off. If you're committed to paying this off, you got to work. You got to find a new job, create a new future. And I said, listen, every great movie, every great story has a second act. You know what? It all is going great, and then all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. And the main character, it looks like there's no way to turn it around. But everybody loves a comeback kid. Everybody loves somebody who can make it. And they didn't just succeed. They went through hell and got stronger, better, and more. I said, all of this has happened in your life for one reason. So that you could become more, so you could give more. I said, you come through this, it's going to make you the strongest you've ever been. It's like the old silly metaphor, but it's true. When somebody breaks a bone, what happens? Where the bone heals becomes the strongest part of that bone. I said, that's what you got to give. So I redefined it from it's impossible to turn this around because I don't have the money to it's solvable. Start making contributions now. Start making the difference now. You don't have to wait till you have money to do it. It's just a change in your identity. You can get your identity back by starting to give again. You can be a contributor again. And I began to paint alternative ways to deal with it and began to reinforce it. And I did a process to condition him and sure enough related to what he values. And by the way, if you watch the film, you'll see an interview with Jim 2 years later. And you see Jim, the happiest he's ever been in his life, no possibility of suicide. And he talks about the people who he's helped because he lived. He got in a business where he was helping people that were losing their homes, ironically. And so he worked with a company that had capital, and they go help them to keep from losing their homes. And they make a loan to them and turn them around. You know, one woman in particular who told me the story about who was in her 70s, and she let him know, and she got his letter, and it was the same day they're supposed to foreclose. And there was no way to make the deal happen. But Jim figured it out. And he saved her life savings. And I said to him, Jim, do you realize if you would have killed yourself, that woman would have lost everything? And what an unbelievable gift. And he started crying, I started crying. It was beautiful. Change happens when you take these steps, when you understand their world, when you get enough leverage, when you interrupt the pattern that's limiting them, the pattern of focus, the pattern of meaning, the pattern of language, the pattern in their body. When you interrupt it enough, over and over and over again, it's impossible to get back to. When you really get a person in a position where you help them to define the problem in solvable terms, somebody's depressed, you say, no, you're not depressed, you're bored. You know, of course you feel what you call depression, but you're just bored with your life. You redefine it. When you redefine it in solvable terms, then you go to that fifth step. You come up with an alternative. I mean, I'll give you an example. All change really is bringing resources to a place they're not. What do I mean by that? Well, an empowering thought, an empowering belief system, an empowering feeling. Think of your own life. Has there been, think of one of the toughest situations you've ever faced in your life that somehow you eventually made it through it. Can you think of one? Think of you, for example. What's one of the toughest situations you faced in your life, and what pulled you through? Maybe to help you do this, I'll grab somebody here in the room and put them on the spot here because I'm obviously in the studio. Laura, tell me, grab that microphone so I can have a real-life example. Spontaneous, give me the truth. What's one of the toughest situations that you've faced in your life, and what belief or what thought or what action, what pulled you through?
I would say breaking up with a boyfriend that I thought I was going to marry. And I think the belief that definitely pulled me through is if he was the right one, it would be meant to be.
Mm. Now, how soon did you get that belief? Or did you suffer for a while first?
Probably about 2 or 3 days of being really sad and then just kind of being at peace with it and spending time with friends and family. And, you know, it was a few months till I was truly, truly at peace with it, but it helped pretty much right away.
Now notice, what was the meaning when you're in the most pain? What do you think the meaning was? What was the pattern then? This was not something you expected to have happen, I guess? How long had you been dating?
Less than a year.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I knew that something was off, and I just thought it would get better, and then I realized it wasn't. So I think I was being a little too hopeful.
Yes. Optimistic. And you ever notice how optimistic we get when we're afraid of losing something? Very often it's counterintuitive. Like, we want to reassure ourselves enough because we want that certainty. So when you got that belief system, and that belief system says it wasn't meant to be, basically, is that the essence of it? It reassured you, I guess. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So that was an alternative way. That was an empowering alternative for you. And today, now that you look back on it, what do you believe today?
I definitely believe that God just did not want us together, and it was the best thing that could have happened.
Hmm. What a beautiful thing. Now, without that belief, you would have suffered. And some people will go on and on and on because they'll hang on to that belief that I missed out on the one relationship I could have had, the person that was designed for me. And so they'll say, I mean, my life conditions don't match my blueprint. They never will because I missed that person. They stay in pain. You made the shift. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And by the way, these are the same seven steps if you're looking to create a change in a business environment or even a culture.